Welcome to the Painesville Assembly of God podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending us an email at info@painesvilleag.com. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Our series called Awesome Relationships, and we're going to talk about fighting for awesome friendships today. And I just think that one of the greatest tasks that we have, or one of the greatest opportunities that we have as we live our lives, is the opportunity to build friendships. I think that relationships are really important to life. I think that friendships are really important to life, and I think that at times they're worth fighting for. How many think friendships are worth fighting for? I hope that by the end of this, that you'll find that as well. But I think that sometimes it's difficult to build those deep friendships. I think we've really got to work at it. It's not something that, maybe for some of you it comes easy, but I think for a lot of people, building friendships, having friends and those kind of things is a difficult thing. Yet I know that God never meant for us to live life alone. And so I think that there's about five reasons why you need to have friends in your life, why you need to fight for awesome friendships. And I just want to kick those off. If you have the app, our Painesville AG app, our PAG app, you can follow along in the notes section, and we're going to have it on the PowerPoint as well. But follow along with these notes, and I want to encourage you in some things with friendships. How do you build awesome friendships? Why do you need awesome friends? I think the first reason that you need some friends in your life, some really good friends, is for spiritual growth. For spiritual growth. I think it's worth to take the time to build friendship, because I think the kind of friends that you have in your life can help you, if they're the right kind of friends, to grow closer in your relationship with Christ. In fact, I don't think we can truly grow in our relationship with Christ the way the Bible says and really grow spiritually without having some friends in our life to help us in accomplishing God's purpose for our lives. In fact, Romans chapter 1 and verse 12 says this: I want us to help each other with the faith we have. Your faith will help me, and my faith will help you. How many have ever had a good friend that has helped you out spiritually? Helped you grow? Yeah. We need friends to help us grow spiritually. I think the second reason you need friends is emotional support. Emotional support. I think that life is a journey. And life being a journey, we've got to have the right companions along the way that can encourage us in our lives, that can give us emotional support in our lives. I think there's two kinds of people. There are VDPs and there are VIPs. What are VDPs? VDPs are very dependent people. Very dependent people. I think in your life, you're going to find that there are people around you that are VDPs. They are very dependent people. But I think you also need VIPs in your life. Who are those? Very inspirational people. Very inspirational people. Why? I think that VDPs, very dependent people, will drain you. VDPs are draining. And I mean, we're called to care, but when you're talking about friendship, when you're talking about getting close to people, if you've got, and we all go through seasons in our life where we need emotional support or we're dependent at one time or another, but there are folks who just don't seem to want to grow. They want to just suck the life out of you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? VDPs. But I think that really the people that we need to give some emotional support in our lives are also VIPs, inspirational people, people who can come along and encourage us and give us support. In fact, the Bible encourages us with the phrase one another. And in fact, the phrase one another in the New Testament is used 58 times. There are 58 commands in the Bible that use one another. We are called to love one another, to care for one another, to help one another, to serve one another, to greet one another, to encourage one another, to support one another. And you can't obey that command of one another if there's not a one another in your life. We need friends in our lives. Galatians 6:2 calls us. This is a command. This is a call. The Apostle Paul writes this. He says, carry each other's burdens and in this way fulfill the law of Christ. If you're not helping out with having friends around you and helping them and giving them emotional support, if you don't have people in your life that are coming alongside and encouraging you in your faith, then you're not fulfilling the law of Christ, which is to love your neighbor as yourself. Number three, I think that you need friendships in your lives because I think that friendships help us achieve better health. better health. Not only does the Bible talk about this, but medical and science confirms it over and over again that people who have good friends in their lives and good emotional support in their lives live longer. They live longer. You'll live healthier and happier. People without friends that don't have deep friendships don't tend to live as long or they're not as healthy. In fact, one of the reasons why I think we need good friends in our lives is because you need a place to be able to unload negative emotions. How many know that at times in life you've got to process through some things? Anybody know what I'm talking about? We're a quiet bunch this morning. My goodness. James 5:16, the Living Bible, puts it this way. Admit your faults one to another and pray for each other that you may be healed. Another version says, confess your sins one to another. Let me clarify this for a moment. If you want to be forgiven in your life, you confess your sins to God. If you want to be forgiven, you want to experience forgiveness, confess your sins to God. If you want to be healed, if you want to be set free, tell somebody else. Tell somebody else. And not just don't go around blabbing to everybody, but a good, trusted, mature believer, if you will take those things and you will say, listen, I've got some things that I'm struggling with in my life. I've got some things, maybe it's a reoccurring sin or a reoccurring problem in your life over and over, and you're like, man, I just can't seem to get past this. You can confess it to God and you will be forgiven. But if you want to be set free, if you want to be healed, if you want to be able to do that, the Bible says that the way to do that, James says, the key to finding that kind of healing is to open up and be transparent with another brother, another sister, another friend, and say, listen, I need to open up with you about some things, and I need your help. I need your help. That's so hard to do, but I think that sin thrives in secrecy. Sin thrives in secrecy. I think that when we don't confess that, we can confess it to the Lord, and it's between us and Him, and nobody else needs to know, and there's a place for that. But I think that sometimes there are some things in our lives that we never really process through and find the healing and find the freedom unless we're willing to bring it out in the open and be transparent and allow someone else to come alongside and help with that. How many would find that to be important? I think the Bible talks about that. Revealing your feelings, friends, is the beginning of healing. Revealing your feelings is the beginning of healing. If you have those habits you don't like, you need other people to come and to help you tackle those things. So we need good friends in our lives to help us. I think, fourthly, why do we need good friendships in our lives? Why do we need deep friendships in our lives? For social enjoyment. I mean, we really can't really enjoy life really on our own. That's not. I think some of the best things that we have to enjoy life, some of the best memories, if you think about it, some of the best memories you have are probably with some good friends in your life. Things you did with some good friends, ways that you achieved some things. Friendships are the bedrock of a satisfying life. And just like we talked about awesome families last week and the ability that you just got to have fun, awesome families know how to have fun, know how to enjoy life together. It's the same thing with friendships. Nothing can compensate for a lack of good relationships. When you have awesome friends, the joys in your life are doubled because you share them with your friends, and the sorrows in life are cut in half because you share those things with your friends. God said in Genesis 2:18, it wasn't good for man to be alone. We were made to live in relationship, and we were made to enjoy life together. Fifthly, why do you need good friends in your life? To reach your goals. Friends, you never reach your goals on your own. You never reach your goals on your own. None of us ever solely makes it completely on our own without the support and the help of others in our lives. In fact, Rick Warren said, it takes a team to fulfill a dream. It takes a team to fulfill a dream. Anything great can't be done by one person. The Bible puts it this way in Ecclesiastes 4:9. Two people are better than one because they get more done by working together. Two are better than one. And since these are some of the reasons for some of the reasons why we need awesome friends in our life, for spiritual growth, for emotional support, better health, social enjoyment, to reach our goals, where do you get friends like that? How do you make friends like that? I mean, I think that sometimes we go, well, that's all good and true, but how do I make friends like that? And I want to take the next few minutes just talking to you about how to be the right kind of friend. how to be the right kind of friend. Where do you find these friends? Where do you find these relationships? In fact, one of the quotes that I love is that your friends are important because they're like an elevator. They either take you up or they take you down. Right? How many of you know the relationships you have, the close relationships, the people that you spend the most time with and hang around with, those are the people you become. Those are some of the greatest influencers in your life. Some of us are older and we've made it through the teenage years. Some of you are teenagers and young adults. How many of you, when you're older, how many of you know that there were directions your life went, decisions you made that were impacted by the people you were hanging around? Yeah. Either for good or for not so good, right? Why? Because our relationships and our friendships are important. So where do we find these kind of relationships that will help us with spiritual growth and emotional health? Where do we find the right kind of friendships that will support us and help us reach the purpose for which God created our lives to be? Where do we find those things? I think one of the best places to find those is here in church. I think one of the best places to find friendships is here in church, because I think that here you will find people that have similar values. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, or you're thinking about becoming a believer in Jesus Christ, you want to go in a particular direction, I think you've got to hang around people that are going in the same direction that you're going. Certainly there are ministry opportunities and there are people we need to share Christ with that maybe be on a path that we don't want to go. That's a different kind of relationship. But when you're talking about a friendship, you want to go with people that are going in the direction that you want to go, that share the same kind of goals and values. And I believe that in church you can find those kind of things. Well, how do you get connected? I think one of the great ways to get connected is to volunteer, to get involved. Get involved in serving. You can come on Sunday morning, but it's a big place, and you can come in and you can sit and you can leave, and that's wonderful. But if you really want to develop friendships, you've got to go beyond, and that means you've got to get involved. We've got plenty of opportunities where you can use your gifts and your abilities to be able to serve. That's a shameless plug right there, by the way. Shameless plug, by the way. I think, too, not only that, but you can get involved in a small group. You can get involved in a Sunday school class. We've got plenty of life groups that are out there. Hey, men, just want to let you know, not only are we having a Tuesday night man-to-man, but beginning in March, the third Saturday in March, March 18th, I believe it is, 7 a.m. to 8:30. We'll have you out by 8:30, 7 a.m. We're going to have donuts. We're going to have a testimony. We're going to have a little bit of a devotion, and we're going to spend some time building friendships with men. It's going to be happening, and we're taking it to the next level. I want to encourage you, go on one of these retreats, like the men's conference. Go to the ladies' swap it event. Come and meet some of these ladies. Have fun and swap. These are the kinds of ways that you get to connect and meet other people and the opportunity to be able to get to know some other people and build relationships. The second question, how do I develop these awesome friendships? How do I develop these awesome friendships? Well, a couple of thousand years ago, Jesus made a statement. It was called the Golden Rule. How many know what the Golden Rule says? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. At least that's the way I memorize it. The Message version actually puts it this way. It's found in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. You ever wondered where the Golden Rule came from? Jesus is the one who said it. It came from Jesus. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. But I want to read it out of the Message because I love the way it puts it. It says this. Here is a simple rule of thumb guide for behavior. I just love that. How many of you love things that are simple? Here's a simple rule of thumb guide for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you, then grab the initiative and do it for them. Add up God's law and prophets, and this is what you get. And what's he saying? What's he saying here? What he's saying here is, the things that you like to receive, if you want to receive these things, you've got to give these things. And how many of you know that if you want friends in your life, the right kind of friends in your life, you have to be the kind of friend that you want in your life. You've got to be the kind of friend that you want in your life. So treat other people the way you like to be treated. That's called the Golden Rule. Now, how does this apply to friendship? If you really want to have deep, meaningful, lifelong friendships, it's really simple. You've got to be the friend you want to have. Why? Because you're going to attract people. You're going to attract people just like you. You're going to attract people like you. You will attract what you are, not what you want. I know that's a hard thing, isn't it? But the truth is, you and I attract people who we are, not necessarily who we want. Like a magnet, we attract. I used to see this in Bible college all the time. Parents would be really frustrated with their children and that kind of thing. And the answer to a lot of parents when they were frustrated with their high schoolers or their young adults, the answer was, you know what? I'm going to get them saved. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send them to Bible college. Now, how many of you think that sounds like a good thing, right? I'll send them to be around a lot of godly people. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. People who went to Bible college that weren't living for the Lord and didn't really care but went there because, hey, I mean, it's a better environment. I'm just going to go there. You know who they attracted and who they hung out with? People just like them. And you know what they did? They got in trouble and they got in the same things they did when they were back home. But wait a minute. They're at Bible college. Because that isn't the answer. You attract people, you attract who you are, not what you want. And so we've got to begin to say, well, how? If you're a shallow person, the chances are you're going to attract shallow people. If you're a loving person, you're going to attract loving people. If you're a gossip, you're going to attract gossips. Oops. If you're bitter and a complainer, you're going to attract people who are bitter and complaining. You attract what you are. But if you really want friends who are deep and loyal, then you've got to be that kind of person. And so I want to look at 6 golden rules today of building relationships. 6 golden rules today of building relationships, whether this is at work, whether this is in your marriage relationship with your husband and wife, whether this would be in your life group or these kind of things. How do you build these deep friendships? How do you do that? What are some golden rules? I want to talk about 6 laws or 6 golden rules of great friendships today. Number one is this, and this is the starting point. You've got to invest the time. You've got to invest the time. When I did a sermon series a couple of years ago, I talked about margin. And how many of you know what margin is? Margin is that white around the paper. If you're writing a paper, you know, they say your margins have to be 1 inch, you know, at the top, 1 inch on the bottom, 1 inch on the side, 1 inch on the other side. Margin is that white space. Now you have all the other stuff that's written, but margin is the white space. We never like to see something that's written with absolutely no margins, where there's just words all over. How many know that's overwhelming? We need margin in our lives. The problem is in our calendars and in our schedules, we are so over-programmed that oftentimes on over-schedule, we don't leave margin in our lives. And yet margin is where relationships happen. Margin is where relationships happen. And so when you talk about friendships, friendships take energy and friendships don't happen by accident. They're on purpose. They're intentional. And so we intentionally have to invest and carve out time, carve out space in our schedules and margin to begin to develop the kind of friendships that we need. How many know deep friendships don't happen overnight, do they? They take time. In fact, they take years to build. Deep friendships are not cheap. They take time. They take energy. They take effort. They take resources. If you want to have deep friendships in your life, it is an investment. No friendship is going to flourish without showing up and being there and giving time. Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man that has friends must show himself friendly." A man who has friends must show himself friendly. In fact, I say this all the time. Here at Paintsville Assembly of God, we want to provide opportunities. We want to provide the opportunities for life groups. We want to provide the opportunities for Sunday school classes. We want to provide the opportunities for the various ministries that we have that you can serve together with someone else. We want to provide the opportunities with some of the fellowship events like we did last week with the chili cook-off and those kind of things. We can provide the opportunities, but it's up to you to invest your presence, invest your time, and go out and meet other people to develop these friendships. I can't promise you a friend, but we can promise opportunities. You have to make the effort, though. And that takes time to make the effort. Philippians 2:4 says, "Do not be interested only in your own life, but be interested in the lives of others." Part of learning how to invest the time is not to say, it's all about me. Don't be a VDP all the time. All right? Don't be a VDP, a very dependent person. Go in and ask about somebody else. Find out about them. What's happening in their life? Ask them questions. So where are you from? So what do you like to do? Where do you work? What interests do you have? What's your family like? What was it like for you growing up? And those kind of things allow you to begin to talk and share, and then you find, oh, you know what? I like that too. Here. And then a conversation starts, and you find some common ground, but you don't do that unless you invest the time, unless you give the presence. That's why Facebook is really not a good indication of how many friends you have. There's no presence in Facebook. In fact, your Facebook friends might write, you know, happy birthday and all that, but do they really know what you want for your birthday? Do they know you? They only know the part of you that you put out there, your public self that you put out, good or bad. And I say good or bad because, you know, you can really tell a lot by what people post, right? We put out there what we want people to see and what we want people to believe about us, but it doesn't mean they really know who we are. And that's what I don't like. I mean, social media is great for some things, but what it's not great for friendships in that it doesn't really give you the ability to come alongside and know somebody. That takes presence. Secondly, not only do you have to invest your time, but deep friendships mean earning trust. Earning trust. If you want to build friendships, you've got to earn their trust. Trust makes a friendship. Without trust, there is no friendship. That's the difference between acquaintance and a friend. You talk to an acquaintance, but you trust your friends. You might talk to an acquaintance, but you trust your friends. If you don't trust somebody, they're not really your friend. They're just an acquaintance. You might work with them, spend 8+ hours a day with them, but if you don't really trust them, they're not your friend. They're just a work relationship. But here's what the Bible says. Proverbs 26, many will say they are loyal friends, but who can find one truly reliable? How many agree with that verse? It's really tough to find somebody reliable, isn't it? Somebody trustworthy. Somebody that you can trust your life with. Somebody you can trust your possessions with. People don't give you their trust automatically. Trust is something that takes time to build up. Trust is something that doesn't happen overnight. Something is that you have to earn. So how do you earn people's trust? I want to give three quick things of how you earn trust. How do you earn trust? The Bible says this, number one, by being reliable. By being reliable. You're predictable. You're not fickle. You're not wishy-washy. You're not hot and cold. You're not inconsistent. Your love isn't erratic. You can be counted on. You keep your word. The Bible says this, Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves you at all times. All times. It's not I'm here for you today and I'm gone tomorrow. I like you today. I don't like you tomorrow. If you want to be a good friend, if you want to have those kind of friends, then you've got to be the kind of friend that is there, that is reliable, that people can trust and lean on. When you have somebody in your life that's hot and cold, they're never there, you don't know if they're going to show up one day or the next, that's not a friend. Reliability is the difference between a friend and a flake, friends. The greatest ability in life is dependability. The Bible said it's hard to find people who are reliable, who are trustworthy, who are dependable. I think the second thing is not only reliability, but loyalty. Loyalty is really important, being loyalty. Loyalty is a term we don't talk about today because it's tough today. I mean, we kind of move upon what have you done for me lately is kind of the way that our culture works, kind of the way that life works. And I know that marketing, people try to build brand loyalty. But I've got to be honest with you, the next sale comes along, the next thing comes along, you can get a better deal, we move on to the better deal. Loyalty is the opposite of narcissism. It's the opposite of self-centeredness. Loyalty says, I'm going to put others before myself. Loyalty says it's not all about me. It's not all about helping myself. As we said before, a true friend is loyal and a brother is born and help. A brother is born to help in a time of need. Proverbs 17:17. They show up. They might be tired. A friend calls you in the middle of the night. You're tired. You're exhausted. But if you're a friend with them, you're going to be loyal. You're going to put their need before yours. You're going to be willing to talk with them. You're going to be willing to help them. And it says that really, when somebody needs your help, a true friend oftentimes is born in a time of need. Let me show you another verse. Proverbs 19:22 says this, loyalty makes a person attractive. If you truly want to be an attractive person, be a person who is loyal. Loyalty is attractive. I don't know who wouldn't want to be attractive. You want to be more attractive? Work on loyalty in your life. Loyalty is really this. It's love in action. 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, if you love someone, you're going to be loyal to them no matter what the cost. You'll always believe in them, always expect the best, always stand your ground in defending them. Loyalty is love in action. What would happen if we really put loyalty in marriage? Rather than talking to our friends about how bad our spouse is, rather than going and every time we're disappointed, every time our spouse lets us down, every time they don't meet our expectations, instead of going around and talking to others about how bad our spouse is and making jokes about it and laughing about it, what would happen if we spoke good about our spouse? What would happen if we defended our spouse? What, instead of making a joke, if our friends were making a joke about our spouse, what if we didn't join in, but instead we showed loyalty to our spouse and we said, no, I will not let you talk about my spouse that way. What would happen? See, loyalty stands ground. Stands ground. And thirdly, this is really important. Loyalty keeps confidences. Not loyalty, but trust keeps confidences. You earn trust by keeping people's confidences. You know, I just think that sometimes, you know, trust is one of those things that goes out the window as soon as somebody begins to not keep a confidence, to not hold something that they should hold, but they go and they tell other people. I know it's a prayer request, right? Yeah, let that sink in for a moment, right? I think everybody needs somebody in their life that they can say, I have a safe person that I know I can share with. You know, if you're having a bad day, if you're struggling, if you're having a bad day, there's things going on. How many know you need somebody safe that you can process your feelings with and they're not going to judge you? And they're going to be honest and real with you at times, but sometimes you just need somebody that will listen to you and that will hold that and say, oh, I'm not going to go and share this with somebody else, right? A true friend really knows how to keep a secret. And if you want people to trust you, let me give you this little key, this little tip. Don't be a gossip. Don't be a gossip. If you're wondering why you don't have deep relationships, maybe, perhaps, it's because nobody trusts you. Let me show you a couple of verses. Proverbs 11:13 says, a true friend will keep a secret. Proverbs 11:13 says this, no one who gossips can be trusted. No one who gossips can be trusted. But you can put your confidence in somebody who is trustworthy. Do you know that of the seven sins in Proverbs that are listed in terms of the deadliest sins, do you know that gossip is listed right alongside murder? Some of us say, I would never murder. But we have no problem talking about somebody else. We have no problem going into conversations and da-da-da-da-da. Did you see what that so-and-so was wearing? Can you believe they did da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da? Let me tell you something, friends. If you're talking with someone and they're good at talking about other people, guess what? When you're not there, they're talking about you. I guarantee it. You think, no, they're not. I guarantee it. They are talking about you. You can count on it. So trust. I tell you, trust can be built over time, but it can be lost in 1 second when gossip comes in. The third golden rule, listen with empathy. Listen with empathy. I think that listening is one of the most important skills for building friendship and building relationships. I don't think you can truly love people without listening to them. Without listening to them. The truth is I have to work at this. I get a little bit ADD sometimes. I got to be honest with you. My attention span, I'm trying to talk and another conversation is going on or I love restaurants, you know, where they have the TVs and things and you can watch the games and things, but it's terrible for conversation. It's terrible. And it's terrible to go there, you know, on a date. My wife and I have date nights on Fridays. We go on date days together. The kids are in school. We don't need babysitting, that kind of thing. We go on date days. We go out to eat. those restaurants that have the TVs are terrible because I want to have a conversation with my wife. I want to listen, but there are so many times I get caught because I just, SportsCenter is on and I'm trying to figure out, you know, did the Cavs win or lose? Does LeBron still have, is he going to be playing or does he still have strep throat? You know, what's going on? That was last night and that's why they lost. No, I'm just kidding. Not really. But, you know, listening, I get ADD. You have to focus. And listen, I'm going to tell you, you want to build a good friendship, then you've got to take time to listen. You've got to put the phone down. Put the phone down. Turn it over so you don't see the notifications popping up. All right? Don't just put it on vibrate or silence so that it's sitting there rattling and you're thinking the whole time, oh, I wonder if this is really important or urgent. Listen. Take time to listen and don't try to fix it. All right? That's one of the worst things sometimes. And I am so guilty of this. I'm a fixer. I like to fix problems. I'm a problem solver. In fact, I think most men are fix-its. How many men would agree you are a fix-it? Right? If there's a problem, I gotta fix it. There's gotta be a logical reason. And how many ladies would say, when I wanna talk with you and share with you, I don't need you to fix it. I just want you to listen to me. Only a few of you. You're lying. You're lying. That's why there's problems. It's not a fix-it thing. Sometimes we just have to be willing to listen and to show empathy. We're not looking to preach. We're not looking to solve. We just want somebody to come along and say, hey, you know what? I understand. You know what? Let's pray together. You know what? Let me just listen. You know what? This is tough. Let me just acknowledge that this stinks, right? Let me give you a couple of verses. Romans 15:2. We must bear the burden of being considerate of the doubts and fears of others. We must bear the burden of being considerate of the doubts and fears of others. That's the Living Bible, the way it says it there. Friends, I'm going to tell you that we all come with doubts and fears. How many of you ever struggled with doubts and fears? We do. We struggle with doubts and fears. And you can have somebody say, you shouldn't feel like that. You don't have to feel like that. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And that might be well and true. It all may be true, but it's not what's helpful and needed sometimes. So many times you just need somebody to acknowledge, you know what, we all have doubts and fears. We all have doubts and fears. Why don't you tell me about your doubts and fears? What has God done for you in the past? Begin to ask questions. Asking questions invites conversation and allows you to be able to listen and lets people process. What I found is a lot of people, when they come and they say they need counseling, they don't really need me to give advice. They just need somebody to listen. And as they're talking about it, they know. How many of you know? Sometimes when you go in, you know what you need to do, but you just need to hear yourself talk through it out loud. Right? You know the Lord speaking. You just need to talk through it out loud. You just got to be able to hear. We've got to take time to listen. Job 6:14, for the despairing man, there should be kindness from his friend so that he does not forsake the fear of the Almighty. Even when we go through pain, even when we question our relationship with God, when we're hurting, when we're in despair, I believe that is when we need the devotion of a loyal friend who will stay put, who will stay with us, who will be there to listen and encourage and show empathy and help us through the time that we're struggling. I know there have been some dark times in my life where I have doubted, where I have struggled in my faith. And I thank God for some of the friends that I've had that allowed me just to process out loud some of my frustration and anger because I couldn't understand why God did or allowed what he allowed to happen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I knew my relationship with God. I wasn't going overboard. I wasn't leaving it. But I needed somebody who was willing to just simply let me process through my fears and my doubts. And who was there to pray with me and let God be the fix-it. Let God be the Savior. Let God reveal his love. And give me time to let that happen. Number four, the fourth golden rule of friendship. Accept their flaws. We all have flaws. None of us are perfect. We all have faults. We all have weaknesses. The Bible says in Romans 15:7, accept one another just as Christ has accepted you. Then God will be glorified. In other words, we don't accept people because they have conformed to our mold. All right, they've got to be just like this before I accept them. You've got to accept people where they are. Billy Graham, at the end of his, when he would invite people to salvation, the end of his conferences, they would sing a song, "Just as I am." Just as I am. Friendships begin when you accept people just as they are. That works in marriage too, by the way. All right? Your partner is not your project. Tweet that. All right? Your marriage partner is not your project. They're not there for you to conform and fix. And as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens. There's going to be friction. There's going to be changing. There's going to be conforming. That's what happens over time. But that is not the goal. You don't go in trying to fix your spouse. You don't go into a friendship trying to fix your friend. You go in trying to live life together, to love each other, to support each other, and to let the Holy Spirit do the work to change things in your life. You've got to learn how to focus on the good qualities and overlook some of the weaknesses and the flaws and the mistakes. I mean, God gives grace to you. Can't you give grace to somebody else? The grace we expect others to give to us, it'd be nice if we extended that to them. Proverbs 17:9, whoever forgives an offense seeks love, but whoever keeps bringing up the issue separates the closest of friends. The way to destroy a friendship is to bring something up over and over and over and over and over. Really, you've got to begin to do that. You've got to begin to learn how to forgive. You've got to begin to learn how to give grace. If you don't, you're foolish, and you're not going to have friends in your life. The fifth golden rule, learn how to celebrate wins and share losses. Learn how to celebrate wins and share losses. This is very important. The Bible commands that we do this, that we celebrate wins and losses. Listen, Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Friends, we need to learn how to celebrate the good things in life. And I think good things need to be celebrated with our friends. Let me tell you something. Life is difficult, and it's not always going to be easy, and you're not always going to have wins in your life. That's why you need to learn how to celebrate the wins when something happens in somebody else's life. If you have a hard time when God is blessing somebody else, a friend in your life, you have a hard time when God is blessing them, and you say, but he's not blessing me. And you go, oh, woe is me. And you can't seem to celebrate with them. You can't seem to celebrate that God is blessing them. You've got an issue. And that's an issue you've got to deal with. It's not your friend's issue. The fact that God is blessing them in a way and you're envious of that, you've got to figure out in your heart what is wrong. You've got to learn how to celebrate with others. In the body of Christ, we've got to learn how to celebrate. We're not in competition with one another. We're not in comparison with one another. We've got to learn how to rejoice and celebrate with when God is doing something in somebody else's life. And the same way, we've got to learn how to mourn with people. We've got to learn how to come alongside in the struggles that people are having. To not blow it off because we feel awkward and we don't know how to handle it. A good friend will celebrate the wins in your life. You'll celebrate together, and a good friend will mourn with you and be there. 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, if one part of the body suffers, all other parts suffer with it. If one part is praised, all other parts share its happiness. And one, the last golden rule today of friendship, bring out their best. Bring out their best. You seek to bring out their best. You want to help people become who they can't be without you. No one can be who they're meant to be. No one can live out the purposes of God by themselves. Nobody can do it by themselves. We need other people in our lives to help us become who God has created us to be. If your friend isn't bringing out the best in your life, if you find that you're around somebody and they're a friend, but every time you're around them, you find yourself doing things you regret. You find yourself acting in ways that you regret. You find yourself with attitudes you don't want to have. You find yourself, in a way that you feel guilty and they're not bringing out the best, they're bringing out the worst. They're not a friend. A good friend brings out the best in you. And if you want friends, you've got to learn how to bring out the best in others, how to encourage others. As I said, Proverbs 27:17, I've quoted already in this because it's just one of those key verses, but it says, just as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens the minds of each other. Friends sharpen the minds of each other. Proverbs 24:26, an honest answer is a sign of true friendship. In fact, sometimes a true friend is the only one who's willing to tell you what nobody else is willing to tell you. They're going to tell you your zipper's down. When everybody else is kind of like, I don't know about that. Hey, there's, you see that? Their zipper's down. A good friend's going to walk up and whisper in your ear, hey, turn around and pull up your fly, all right? Seriously, you got a stain on your shirt? Somebody who doesn't care about you is going to let you walk around with that all day, and you don't even know it's there. But a good friend is going to say, hey, you know what? I've got a little of that that Tide little thing, you know, that Tide pen thing. Here, why don't you put that on your stain, or you're going to get a new shirt. A good friend is going to be on, and those are just some other, but you know that there are some times in our lives where there are things that we there's this side of us that we don't see. I call it the other self. There's this side of us we don't see. Everybody else sees it, but we don't see it. But somebody who truly loves you, a good friend, is going to be honest with you. They're going to be frank with you, and they're going to help you grow so that you can become your best. So that you can become your best. If you don't have anybody in your life that you have given permission to be honest with you, then you're missing something. You're not truly becoming who God is desiring you to be. Proverbs 27:5 says, a truly good friend will openly correct you. You can trust a friend who corrects you. Why can you trust a friend who corrects you? Because critics try to advise you in a spirit of rejection, but friends advise you in a spirit of acceptance. Listen, I love you and accept you. And because I love you, we do this with our kids. How many do this with your kids? Because I love you, I'm not letting you go out of the house dressed like that. Right? You may not like me, but you are not going out of this house looking like that. All right? I've got a daughter, I'll embarrass her. She's going to be 11 this coming week. And I'm telling you that some of the things I see out there, my daughter will never walk out of the house dressed like that if I have anything to do with it. Why? Because I want my daughter to respect herself. To understand that she is God's daughter. And she don't need to walk around in some way to attract the attention of some guy who just wants to use and abuse her anyway. I was being real. There are times we gotta have somebody in our life that we can trust that will help us to become better, who will trust us. I know some of you that have teenage daughters say, good luck with that. I know that. I know it's not easy. I'm not looking for easy. See, being a true friend is not easy. If you want to be a true friend, if you want to truly love somebody, if you want to care about somebody, it's not easy. It's work. Friendship is work. Marriage is work. Families are work. We've been talking about these awesome relationships, and next week we're going to talk about having an awesome relationship with God. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. It's going to take investment. It's going to take work. It's not easy. It's going to take you being willing to forgive because somebody's getting in your face, and they're going to tell you something you don't want to hear, and they're going to let you down, and you got to figure out how you're going to deal with that. Are you going to give up and run, and then it's going to happen again and again and again, and you're going to continue to live in a state where, oh, I'm the victim and everybody else is bad? Or are you going to be willing to say, you know what, I've got to become the kind of person, the kind of friend that I want somebody else to be to me? It takes work. It takes investment. And it takes allowing the Lord and the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. And friends, we can't do it without God transforming and changing us. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. His name is Jesus. And friendship with others begins when we learn how to have a friendship with God. Because then He begins to open us up and we learn how to be a true friend.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened by God's Word. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, please visit PainesvilleAG.com.